designed for bread.
There's a din. The original din was that a kohen has to wash until it's a dying before he touches truma. Or even if he doesn't touch it, anyone has to wash until it's a dying before he touches truma. I'm Shnei saying, and Shnei also Shlishi the truma. The truma will become puff. And a kohen who is not going to touch the truma has to wash until it's a dying before he eats the truma. And then there's another din, Shum Srak truma. They extended it that before anybody eats bread, you have to wash until it's yadayim. So the Gemara is discussing the details of an until it's yadayim for bread. There is a possibility that washing the until it's yadayim for truma is mochomer than washing the until it's yadayim for bread, because this is only an extension of that. The original din really was, the Gemara says, in the beginning of the second Perek in Erev, the Shlomo HaMelech made the takana of the until it's yadayim. So the Gemara says he made the takana for truma. It was in later generations that they extended it to until it's yadayim for bread. So we left off Kuv Zayin Omid Aleph. The Omar Rava, that 10 lines, that 12 lines from the top. The Omar Rava, the tiny letter Dalit. Kli She'em Bo Revi'is, the Kli, you have to wash the Kli from a Kli. So you have to have a Revi'is of water in the Kli. If you don't have a Revi'is of water in the Kli, Toitish. Kli She'em Bo Revi'is, that's my like that. Beg Markasha Eini, but that's not true because we have another member from Rava, the same Andama, which seems to contradict that. Rava says that's the size that the Kli has to have. Kli, Shena Machzik Revi'is. If the Kli is not big enough that it can contain a Revi'is, in the man of Ayadam, you can't use it for the Zonzam. That's just the size it has to be, but the implication is HaMachzik, if the Kli is big enough, I've got the Lesbe. Even if it doesn't have a Revi'is of water, you can wash it on your hands. It depends. What do you mean it depends? How many people are going to wash their hands? One person or two people? What are you talking about? Zagmar, it's not. It's a Mishnah. You have to start off with the reviews of water in the Kli. The Kli has to be big enough to hold the reviews, and you have to start off with the reviews. And then, once you start off with the reviews, they must have had very small hands. I don't know. So then you can use that one reviews. A reviyus is the volume of an egg and a hair. So how much is it already? A very small amount. So you can use that reviyus to wash your right hand, your left hand, and another person can use what's left over to wash his right hand and his left hand also. How much can be left over it? But it has to cover the whole hand. So true, we wash to the wrist, that's a chumman. You only have to wash till the knuckles, but even wash till the knuckles, you have to have water. How is it that a revius is enough water to wash two different people, to wash four hands? That's what the Gemara says. This nan is a Mishnah Maseches Yadayim, says like that. May revius, if you start off with the revius of water, notlim la'idayim le'echot v'afilu l'shnayim. One person can wash both hands. You don't need a revius for each hand. One person can wash both hands with the revius. V'afilu l'shnayim, two people can wash, as long as you start off with the revius. If you just start off with a half a revius, you take a cup and you fill it up from the river, or from the faucet, a half a revius, that's no good. You have to start off with a full revius, and then two people can use it. Sure.
But that doesn't work with a mixer. It's not with 40 strong. One person can go in, the second person can have
your own. Right. You have to have a revius, but each person goes in. A mikvah is a real thing. You have to have a revius. You have to have a boim saw, yeah. But this is a cooler. That's how they instituted the takonim and the tilsiyadan. Amalei Rav Sheshes Lameimar, the Amoraim were discussing, say, yes, the Mashaila, question, Kavdisu Amona, are you makbid to wash the tilsiyadan with a kli? Amalei, yes, he's makbid to use with a kli. That's why we call it Natilisiyadan, because Natla in Aramaic means a kli. The din is you have to wash from a kli.
What is kli sholim, Kli Sholem, Rashi says.
Kli Sholem, for Kiddush, you have to have Kli Sholem, shouldn't have a chip on the top, because it's not for covering. That is a chip, but it's kosher, as long as it's Machzik Revi, as long as it holds the Revi. But it has a hole at the bottom, so then the Gemara said, if the hole is Kikoinis Mashke, if the hole is Kimoitzi Mashke, if you have a Kli that has a little hole, so ultimately has a hole on the bottom, ultimately all the water is going to go out. But if it has a tiny hole, it's going to take a while till the water goes out. So if it's only a hole that's moitzi mashke, likvu will go out, but it's not kindness mashke. If I would have an empty kli, and I would hold it in a container of water, half in and half out, question is, would the water go into this small kli? So if it doesn't go in, that nekev, that hole in the kli is called
and that can kemoitzi mashke, but it's not a kainis mashke. So the Gemara said before, that's okay. For the tilus yadayim purposes, that's okay, even though it's moitzi mashke.
No, the shifter. The cross has to be tarvet. No, for you, not to use it for medicine of flesh again.
You can have a tray for kli also, but it fills your dime. It doesn't have to be kosher.
Yeah.
You're just pouring water on your hands. It doesn't have to be kosher at all.
Yeah, but you pour in pure water to mix kli. You use it for milk or flesh.
No, but you're using cold water. You're not drinking the water. You're using cold water. You're throwing it out. I don't think that's a problem.
No.
So he asked Rav Sheshes, who Rav Sheshes asked Tameima. Kabdisu Amona, are you makbid davke to wash from a kli? The din is for Natilus Yadayim for Truma. You have to be makbid on a kli. That's Mishnayis. But he didn't need Truma. Maybe he didn't have Truma. So he asked him, are you makbid to wash from a kli for bread? Doctor, yeah, and. Then he asked him, are you makbid achazusa? The din is, when a Tommy wants to be toivel in a mikveh, Barocha says, Besara Bamai. So the Gemara says, Mayim, and May Paris is no good. It has to be Dafka water. May Paris is no good. So that's a din minatur. If you have a mikveh that's from orange juice or tomato juice or something like that, that's not acceptable. So they made a din midirabbanon. What if you have a mikveh aboim saw, and somebody poured in a lot of wine, red wine, and the color of the whole mikveh changed, the water looks reddish. So the Mishnah is saying, mikvah, if you have a shinui mareh, on the mikveh, that's possible with the Rabbanon, because it looks like May Paris. People are going to think that you can be toivel on May Paris, which you can. So they made it the Rabbanon. If there's a shini mara in the mikveh, so it's no good. The Mishnah you say there in mikveh is that shini mara only poses a problem if the shini mara was caused because I poured in a liquid that has a different color. Let's say I poured in red wine. What if I threw in, let's say, what do you call a pellet of chlorine? So you have liquid chlorine and you have chlorine pellets. So it makes the water green. So if you poured in orange juice or if you poured in wine, a liquid, may Paris, and change the mara, then it's there the Rabbanon that you're not allowed to be terrible with.
What about you have a leak? In the lake there are all kinds of kachkis, you know, and kachkis, in English.
Dust? Yeah.
Dust, yes.
Yeah.
And they're making over there in the lake, but they have to make.
Okay.
But it's not so pleasing the water.
If you have our boim saw water, so it's still good.
It okay. Doesn't matter
The purpose of an Atilus Adam should make your hands clean, so it's going to make your hands dirty, so technish. But if there's a part of the lake where it's going to be clean, so you can use it. Okay. So the Shaila is, there is a din shinui mare apostles in a mikveh because May Paris is no good. So the Made Xerah de Rabbanon, you shouldn't use a mikveh of water if the shinui mare was caused because of a liquid. What about Natilus Adai for Truma? So that's often in Mishnayis, Tosin says. There are Beferish and Mishnayis that say that Shini Mara for Natilus Adai for Truma is no good. Even though you have a radius of water, but if you put in black ink or blue ink or red ink, whatever, and change the whole color of all of the water in the clay, so that's no good. So he's asking him, a Maimer, who says, Rav Shesh is asking a Maimer, but you're only washing Natilus Adai for bread. You're not washing the tilus adayim for truma. So he asks him, does the din of shini mara apply even for bread? Are you makbid on that? So he says, yes.
So I mean, may paris would be also on the same as the mikvah.
Oh, so that's two girsas in the Gemara Brachas.
What's the sign on the chlorine? I missed that
part. Explain, the Mishnah Mikvah says that if you cause the shini mara by pouring in a liquid that has a shini mara.
Like wine.
Or ink. I poured in blue ink or red ink and the whole color of the mikveh changed, so then it's possible. What if I threw in a solid thing? I threw in a pellet of chlorine and it changes all the water and now all the water was green. So that's a Mishnah that doesn't possible. If the Shinemara was caused by a solid, it doesn't possible. Because the whole Gzeira of Shinemara is a Gzeira Otto Mei Peris, and Mei Peris is a liquid. So they only made the Gzeira Derabbanan if the Shinemara of them.
Concentrated wine, which is a
Okay, then it would be okay. The Mishnah has, the Mishnah that has this, yeah, the Mishnah that has this distinction is talking about if a person pours wine into the water and can change the color puzzle. What if the person has a basket and the basket always used to contain grapes? And the grapes cause the dye to get absorbed in the basket, and now it's the exact same thing, but now it's in a solid state. And I soaked the basket in the mikveh. Yeah, and now all the water in the mikveh changed its color. But the shinamara was caused by a solid, not by a liquid, because the dye from the grapes was absorbed in the basket. At the time that it came into the mikveh, it wasn't in a liquid state.
The whole person is exact, that people should not make a mistake. How are they
going to
know that the color changed because of the color and not because of the liquid?
It's not good to kasha, yeah. But that's what it says in the Mishnah. That's what it says in Yerideya. Rabbi Tendler says that when you put in chlorine in a mikveh, if it looks green, you got to burn your eyes. It means that you have too much chlorine. He said the mikveh looks green not because of the chlorine.
Tile.
He said because of the tile on the bottom. That's what he claimed. Okay. So let's assume that it's correct. Okay. So there are two gear sauces, the machlokes harishon, two opinions on Shulchan Aruch. Let's say if I have orange juice, I have grapefruit juice, can I use it for the tilos yadayim for bread? Apparently for truma, for sure it's not good, but for bread it's a machlokes. So if you hold that made peris is good, so why should shinemara pasul? The whole din of shinemara is exero to made peris. If that's what he's asking him, are you makbid achazusa? Dr. N, he is makbid achazusa. So Tosha says, isn't it enough in the Mishnah and Yadayim? What is he clearing? So Tosha says, the Mishnah and Yadayim is, the original Mishnah and Yadayim is talking about the Tilus Yadayim for eating Truma. And he's talking over here the Tilus Yadayim for bread. And there's room to Dingzach, there's room to argue and say, Shinemari shouldn't pass off for the water from the Tilus Yadayim for bread. If you hold May Paris is good, so why should Shinemari be no good? So nonetheless, he says that he is makbid. Then he asks, are you makbid Ashiura? Are you makbid that you should start off with the full revias? You have to start off with the full revias up there. Yeah, he is makbid Ashiura. Everything that says in the Mishnah, he carries over from the tilus yadayim for bread. Ikadiyami, another version has it, that he didn't answer yes on everything. Hochi Amalei. Rav Ameima answered Rav Sheshes, two out of the three. He is makbid, the third one not. Amana vachazuzza kaftina. To wash from the clay, he is makbid. Shina mare, he is makbid. Ashiura loy kapdina. But that it should, you should have, you begin with the revias, start finished. Why does not? Because there's enough in the Mishnah, may revias, if you have revias in a cup, not line dine lech, or afilu vishlaim. One or two people can wash until it's a time from a revias. So you start with the revias, I pour out my two hands, then I have left the half a revias. So the other fellow starts off with the half a revias. So you see that it's good. So the Gemara, the Lohi, we don't paskan like that version. That version has it. You can begin to wash and fill the dam with less than a revias as long as it covers the hands. The Gemara says, no, shiny hosam shum dokosi nishiori tahara, because you started off with a full revias. And the first half of revias you used to wash and fill the dam for the first person. So this is shirayim, this is left over, since it's shiori tahara, so it's a kula b'dirabbanan. On the level of the rice, you're right. No such a thing wouldn't make sense. If you started off with a mikvah of 40 saw, even if he's only tummy midirabbanan, then a mikvah wouldn't work. Special kula b'dirabbanan. Cool, as long as you started off with the revias, the first half of revias was also used for the purpose of netilus yadayim, so then the second person can also wash.
Rabbi Shimon, yeah. I ask you, can you use mayim vusharim, mayim nikin, mayim vusharim, for netilus yadayim, and cool saw? Can you use it for
So that was a big discussion we had on Kupay on the base. The Gemara had two versions. Can you use Yad Toledes water? Can you wash until the time with Yad Toledes burning hot water? So the Gemara, we paskin, yes. For my Mishani, you can use it. For my Machani, you cannot use it. So the opinion, the version in the Gemara that you cannot use Yad Toledes water, why not? So Rashi says, the top Rashi on Kupay on the base said, so that's ice mine. Once you cook the water, nishtanu mitoras mine. So that's ice mine. So that's what Rabbi Menachem Zember wrote. Menachem Zember just was killed by the Nazis in the Warsaw Ghetto. So he had a whole correspondence with other rabbanim about this. From the Rashi, it would appear that once you cook the water, that's ice mine, and you can't even use it after it cooled off already. You know, all the water in the world, we know there's a water cycle. All the water in the world was once cooked at one time or another. But we're talking in this Gilgul.
when since it rained, the panim chadosh is now. Otherwise, all the water in the world was avad in this basha. But since the last time it rained, if you never cooked the water, so then it's considered mine. Once you cooked it, so we pass, and it's even good when it's yad toledus. So we don't accept that opinion. That's about that is mine. But according to the opinion that you cannot use yad toledus water, the Rashi seems that he says you can't even use it after it cools off. It becomes ois mayim. That's what Menachem Zeme said. It's not machshir lekabel tume. In order for food to be mekabel tume, there's a din mashkem on mekabel tume without hechshir. But oichlim are only mekabel tume if you rinse it off with the one of the seven mashkim. The one of the seven mashkim. Yad shach adam is the Rashi Tevis of the seven mashkim. So one of them is mayim. So what if you rinse off potatoes, whatever, with water that was once cooked? According to this Rashi, according to one opinion in Gemara, the way Rashi understands it, mayim that was cooked, that's mayim. We don't pass them like that. We pass them that it is mayim. Even while it's burning hot.
Now it becomes a kula.
It wouldn't be mashu. According to that opinion, it would not be mashu lekaltum. We pass them mayim, yet so that it is good. It's even good while it's burning hot. So certainly it's good after it cools off. How much is a revius? How much is a revius? So revius is an egg and a half. Shaz, which egg? Average size egg. Beis Avenus. Average size egg. You take 20 eggs. Which 20 eggs are you taking? How do you determine which are average size eggs? We only see big eggs. We don't see average size eggs. They make mayonnaise acid. We never see those. We see either jumbo eggs or large size eggs. Years ago, when I was a little boy, I remember seeing much smaller eggs. Now they don't sell us. Everybody uses that for mayonnaise. So that's the Shana. So the Nadi Behuda writes, Nadi Behuda lived in the 1700s. He was a very tall man. So he wrote a sefer on Pesachim, and the last pair of Pesachim, the Gemara says, but our bekaisis, that each tzlach. So you have to have a revius of wine in the cup. So the Gemara says the revius is an egg and a half. Then the Gemara says how many inches it is, how many etzbos it is. So the tzlach made the calculation, and it doesn't shtim. Using the fingers, it should be much bigger than an egg and a half. So he came to the conclusion that the skatim ashiurim, the eggs today are smaller than they used to be, and everything, all the shem should be double. Then one of the talmidim of the Nari Behuda told him, the Rebbe is an olam gadol, you're very tall, and your fingers are bigger than everybody else's fingers. So he chuckled. So that was a machlokes achrayim, what was the pshat in the chuckle? Did the chuckle mean, you're right, I made a mistake, I'm calculating with my thumb. I have to calculate, he's taller, he's bigger than other people. And average size thumb would be normal, but there wouldn't be any kasha. What the chuckle was, it's a good joke, but it's not correct. So that's a whole discussion in our friend.
I find it very funny, because the Torah gave us, you, instead of saying inches of this, amas, they always vary from country to country, so they gave shiur with the vegetable, the fruit, which is constant.
In the Chuvas HaGoyim it says like that. The Chuvas HaGoyim that were printed in the early 1900s, someone asked them a question. Why did the Halacha give Halacha Moshe Messina? Why did the Halacha give a Shia Kibetza and Kigrageris and Kazayas and Revias? Why don't they give inches and millimeters and weights and so on? So the Goyim wrote like that, that inches and millimeters keep on changing from one country to the other. But the eggs stay constant, and the zeishim stay the same. So Rabbi Chana Wasserman wrote, after that was printed, after they printed that manuscript, you see that the Goyim thought not like the Nari Behuda, that the Shurim didn't change. The Kazayas is the same as it always was, and the Kibetza is always the same, and the Revius is the same. So that was always a question, how much, you say, a Revius is a Beitza or Machza, the volume of an egg and a half, which Beitza or Machza? A Beitz of Beinonis, an average size. Which is a Beitz of Beinonis? Going to take 20 eggs and take the average. Which 20 eggs are you going to take? Going to take 20 jumbo eggs? Are you going to take 20 tiny eggs? Going to take 20. So in every community, the Rabbanim have to establish how much is a Revius. So the Gemara says in different communities, the Rabbanim showed them. Asking Rabbi Yankiv in Harp Kod, Napla Bas Reviyasa. Rabbi Yankiv lived in the city in the Harp Kod in Bovel. And he made such a napla, Hittilus Adai means a kli. So he commissioned them to make a kli that had exactly revius. Everybody should know how much a revius is. Ask Rav Ashi Behutzal. Hutzal is the name of a city both in Eretz Yisrael and in Bovel.
Rav Ashi lived in Bavel. So he had them manufacture a kli, a kuzah, bas reviyas. Rashi says one of them is a kli cheris and one of them is a mepo kli, right? Doesn't make a difference. Not one kuzah, two different materials of a kli. But each one in his community made a kli that has a reviyas. All the balabatim should know how much is a reviyas. It's relevant for kiddush, for abdolah, for abakosis, for natilus yadayim. You have to know how much is a reviyas. A beitzah or machzah, yes.
So were those two kelim different from each other?
Probably not. Probably not. They weren't so precise. They were probably approximately the same.
Really, with the exception of Truma and Tilsit time for Amosi and for Nagelbach, is there any other time that we have to use a kli?
For Kiddush and Abdullah, you need a bracha lakos. You have to hold it in a kli.
No, I'm washing.
Oh, for washing? No, strictly speaking, when you come out of the bathroom, it's only a chumrah. Make your adin, when you come out of the bathroom, you can wash your hands without a kli. You don't need a kli.
So only for a Tzivayim and Egelman?
Yeah, that's right.
And the Kohanim?
The Kohanim and the Beis Hamikdash, right. Yeah, that's a real din. You need Kiddush Adayim Raglan. They have to pour water on their hands and on their feet before they do the Avodah. Yeah, that reason, that really needs a kli.
Dochening today as well?
Yeah, Dochening is also similar to the Beis Hamikdash. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. In fact, in Breuers, I was the rabbi in the branch of Breuers for a few years. So in the branch, I did everything exactly the same as in the big shul. So they had, for Natilus Yadayim purposes, when the Levim had to wash the Kohanim hands for the Duchening, so they had a pitcher, and the pitcher had a handle that the Levi would hold, and it had a spout. So the spout was higher than the rest of the pitcher. So if you have the pitcher sitting on a table, you fill it up with water, the water would overflow before it reaches the spout. The spout was like a half an inch or an inch higher than the kli. The din is that for the Tilus Yadayim, we're going to soon learn, the Tilus Yadayim, a lot of times you have a paper cup that comes to a point on the bottom. So you can hold the reviews of water in it, but if you put it down on a table, all the water is going to spill out. And the Mishnah requires that the kli for the purpose of the Tilus Yadayim should be able to hold the reviews sitting on its own. So if you have such a kli that comes to a point, you have to have a plastic container to hold it in, or a glass, whatever, some kind of a metal container to hold it in, or you have to make it flat on the bottom to be misakinid, that it should be able to hold the reviyas while it's sitting like that. So in Shulchan Aruch it says that if you have a pitcher with a spout, and when the pitcher is sitting like this, and you fill it up with water till the top, it's going to start to overflow, and it's not going to go till the spout. The spout protrudes above the water level, so you shouldn't pour from the spout, because that's not really part of the kli. The kli is only that part of the kli that contains water. The spout doesn't contain. That's like you're pouring through a pipe. The pipe doesn't contain water. So if you have such a pitcher, you should wash until it's a dime sideways from the sides of the pitcher that would hold the water all the way till the top. So they had, when I was the rabbi in Paramus, so they did everything exactly the same as in the big shul, so they had such a pitcher. So I told the Kohanim, that's not right. So they're swearing up and down, that's how they do in the big shul. So I said, how can it be? It can't be. It's against the Shulchan Aruch. So I went to Rabbi Schwab. Every year I had to go speak to Rabbi Schwab. I didn't know whether the Balabat would tell me the truth. I never stood up in the front to see the way they do it. So I went to Rabbi Schwab, so he said, oi, what can I do? Rabbi Breuer approved it. Rabbi Breuer, the last years of his life, couldn't see. He was blind. So they showed him a picture, and he said, it's okay, and he didn't see it. So he said, I can't fight with Rabbi Breuer. He knows those Kohanim who are B'nai Torah, so he told them they should pour the water from the side. They shouldn't pour from the spout. He didn't want to make all machlokes. But that's what it said in the Shulchan Aruch, that you shouldn't pour from the spout, not for the Tilus Yadayim for the Kohanim, not for the Tilus Yadayim for eating bread, because the spout doesn't contain the water. If the spout is higher than the water level would be, if the pitcher would be sitting flat. I remember when I was the rabbi there in Paramus, so they would make Kiddush and Abdullah in shul, like the minig always was. Now in yeshivas, they don't make Kiddush and Abdullah. But in all the shuls, normally they make Kiddush and Abdullah. So whenever it would be, Yontif would be on a Matzoi Shabbos, so you can't light a candle. So they would always have a special bulb that they would say Haftalah on. And they had a frosted bulb. So I told the Balabat, you can't use a frosted bulb. The Gemara says in Masechus Brachas, When you say bar mirehesh, you have to be able to see the flame. So if you have a cover, if you're using an incandescent bulb, if it's frosted, you can't see the filament. You have to have a clear bulb. So they told me that's what they have in the big shul. So I said, how can it be? So I went to the big shul, and I saw Taka that was there once. That's Taka what they have in the big shul. Yantav Shalias, the Matzai Shabbos, has the big shul. So I started to ask around, so they told me the same thing. Rabbi Breuer, when he lost his eyesight, it didn't exist. There were no frosted bulbs. When we were growing up, there were no frosted bulbs. All the bulbs were clear. So the Essen, can you use a bulb for Abdullah? Said, of course he can use a bulb. He couldn't imagine such a thing. And Rabbi Schwab wasn't watching. And Rabbi Schwab said, the bulb is where the chazan is. And Rabbi Schwab used to sit further up. So it didn't occur to him that that there was an issue about it. But that says in the Paschim like that. A frosted bulb shouldn't be used for Bar Mi'aresh. You have to be able to see the... You have to be able to see the filament. You have to be able to see the flame.
Does that apply to benching last Friday also? If you say Erev Shabbos, if you...
No. Those who hold that you can say a bracha on electric bulb, it doesn't have to be clear. It's only a din by Havdalah, by Bar Mi'aresh. Bar Mi'aresh. But for Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos, that would be acceptable even if it is a frosted bulb. If you have a neon or a... fluorescent, so then Abshlem Zalman has it. Surely he says that's not really Aish, so you can't really call it a Nair. So you can't say Brach Lading Nair Shal Shabbos if it's fluorescent. You should have the Dafka, you should use Dafka bulb with the filament. Yeah. The Omar Rova is continuing the topic of the Tilis Adan. If you have a barrel, and the barrel has a lid on top, so the lid is called Megufa Sachovis. The goof as achav is the lid on top of the barrel. Should tikna if you fix it specifically, then you can use it for nitzilus adayim. That's menalei adayim. If you didn't misaken it, then you can't use it for nitzilus adayim. What do you have to be misaken? What's the issue over here? So Rashi writes, should tikna chakok or lekabel revius. You have a lid and you carved it out a little bit so it can contain a revius.
The lid?
Yeah. The Rashi explained, what do you have to carve out for? Abogatim Eikor, Alav Nishtamusha, the Gava Avido, Ein Chalala, Osi Letocho. When you have a lid, you normally, let's say you have a pot, you have a lid on top of a pot. So the lid on top of the pot usually goes down like this. So if you turn it upside down, you'll be able to put in a reverse of water. And even though, let's say the lid goes like this, and it's going to be wobbly a little bit, it'll still hold the reverse. Probably still hold the reverse. But it was never manufactured with that in mind. The lid of a soup pot was never made milachatchila in order to hold water in it. The din is, let's say, you have to do tfilas kelim. Any kli that holds food, but a mitzvah to do, if it ever belongs to a non-Jew, so you have to do tfilas kelim. So if you buy forks or knives, or you buy metal or glass, you buy glasses that you drink in, or you buy frying pan or a pot, soup pot, metal, so you have to do tefillas kelim. What if you buy a cookie jar? You have to do tefillas kelim on a cookie jar. What about the lid on the cookie jar? So the lid on the cookie jar doesn't hold any of the cookies. The lid is just to prevent the dust from falling in, or prevent some of the children from sticking their hands in, maybe, if you screw it tightly, okay, prevent the husband from taking cookies. whatever it's for. But the lid is not for the purpose of holding the food. So the lid, says in Shulchan Aruch, the lid does need tefillas kelim. Only the bottom of the kli. What about a pot that you cook soup in? So the lid of the pot of the soup is, when you cook the soup, it should not evaporate. So the lid is there to hold the soup down from evaporating. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, when you table the kli, so you're supposed to be table the lid as well. But still, the lid is to prevent the steam from evaporating. So that's why you need tefillas kelim. But it doesn't really contain water. So for the purpose of Netilas Yadayim, you have to use a kli that was manufactured milchatchila with the intention of containing liquid in it. So the lid, the gufas achav, the lid of a barrel or the lid of a pot that you cook soup in, was never manufactured milchatchila al das to hold liquid. So that's why Rava says, V'yomar Rava, gufas achav shetikna. You have to carve it out a little more with the intention that it should hold the water. Then it's good for the...
What do you care about the lid holding water?
Maybe
I want to use the lid for the Tilas Yadayim.
No, that's the one you use the lid for Tilas
Yadayim. Yeah. Oh. That's a soldier in the army and he has a helmet. The helmet can hold the liquid, but the helmet was not manufactured al das to hold liquid in it. If they have nothing else, so they'll draw water from the river and they'll drink from the helmet. But it wasn't intended by Hatzchila, so you can't use a helmet for the Tilas Yadayim purposes, even though it contains more than the river. Unless you're going to be misakin, unless you carve something out with the intention of holding water in it. That's Rav is this. Tanya and Abiyachav, you have a brisa that says exactly, a Tosefta and Yadayim says exactly what Rav says. The lid on the barrel, which Melech Hatzchila was never intended, the barrel was intended to hold liquid, but the lid was not manufactured with the intention of holding any liquid. So Tikna, if you carved it out to hold liquid, not mentalized, I'm dead, it's good.
Yeah. Why isn't it good if you just designate it for that purpose? Why do you have to actually carve something out of it?
That's what the Tosefta says, has to be manufactured al daske. Just designating is not enough. Because initially, when it's manufactured, that was not the intention. So if you carve out something now, so it's considered manufactured.
People in the army use the helmet like washing or shaving. They always do it. Can you use pencils for holding water?
It is for the purpose. People do it for holding water. Okay, could be. If that's the minigoylum, so then the helmet is melachatchila intent. Maybe the original manufacturers of the first helmet didn't have that in mind. But if that became the minigamdina, so then it would be good. Okay. When you manufacture the helmet, so they have that in mind.
People visit the pots that they say it's curved because when cooking, you want to. To take off the bone or something, so put it into the lid of the pot. You could put, so that you should be able to put some liquid in the lid of the pot. That's why it's curved.
Yeah. Oh.
Why they just make it flat? Why don't they just make it flat?
Uh-huh.
That's why they make it curved, so that you take off the excess foam or whatever.
Okay.
Yes, you didn't know.
So then it would be good. And if that's the case, then the lid of the pots is manufactured, so that with that cover on, then it would be good.
You go to the hospital to visit a cholet, and then you find out in this same room is a person's gosset. When you go out, you have to wash.
No. In Shulchan Aruch they say, "Ahelach bein ha-meisim." If a person is in contact with a meis, it becomes tamei tumas meis. You have to go to mikveh to become tahor, and the mikveh doesn't even help unless you had first hazor shlishi shvi with paraduma water. So today we don't have any paraduma water. So a person who goes to a funeral, there's no way he can become tahor. So we have a meaning: if you walk in the cemetery, in between a person walks bein akvarim, the tel shulchan aruch, he should wash until it's done because of a ruach ra. The washing until it's done doesn't help to get rid of the tumah. Tumah is going to be there until he goes to the mikveh following hazaras from paraduma water, which we don't have this manah there. So the shulchan aruch says ha'elach ben amesim has to wash until it's done. So we already extended the minig if you attend the funeral. That's not what it says in shulchan aruch. Shulchan aruch says you're walking in a cemetery. We're not walking in a cemetery. You go to a funeral. So that's the meaning that people wash their hands, even if they only attend the funeral. There's only one mace there. It's not the same as Harlot Bein HaMeis.
But how about the grandma relatives who dry their hands for some reason? I think it all started because on the cemetery there's no towels, and I'm asking, this meaning.
Could be.
The Malava left.
Yeah.
Not with the Dalai.
Yeah. That's for sure. In Shulchan Aruch, it says there's a chashash of ruach ra, helach ben amesim. So some recommend, as a chumra, you should wash until it's a daim with a clay before you walk in, before you back into your house. So when Rav Moshe Feinstein would go to a funeral, so his wife was always makbid that he should wash until it's a daim in the street before he walked into his house. When his wife wasn't watching, he would go into the house and he would wash until it's a daim. That's what his mekurovim told us. But the wife was backbit, so he had to do. He didn't want to fight with his wife, so she would make him wash in the street. Okay. So the Tosefta says the same as Robert said. Mugufas Achavis, the lid of the barrel was never manufactured aldas to contain anything. You say the lid of the pots today is different, fine. So therefore, you have to have tikna. You have to carve it out a little bit that it should contain the reviews. What if you have chemish, chemis, ukvisha, shetiknon? also you need tikkun. Not from Mehem Vayadai. Why do you need tikkun? What's the chemis of kfisha? So Rashi says, meaning the odor shall orhem. Why do you need tikkun? What's the issue over here? So Tosis explains what's going on based on the Mishnayos and Yadayim. The Mishnayos and Yadayim, the Tosis quotes, say that in. If you have a cup that comes to a point on the bottom, and if you, it can contain a revius, but you, it can't sit with the revius on the table. You'll hold it, it'll hold the revius. If you put it on the table, everything will spill out. So tikna means the chem, what is this? The chem is a kfisha, are nodos, they're canteens that hold the liquid. But you have to put on the cap. If you don't put on the cap, everything is going to spill out. It doesn't have a way to sit on its own. So tikna means you made a base mashuv to it, so then it can hold it until it can hold the revius miyushuv. What about sak v'kupa? If you have a sak v'kupa, Rashi says it can you usually put in dry items. You put in tvua. You put in kalin. But you don't put in liquid. The sakvakup, apopish, and the kaplan, even though they have a base kibble, ain't not mehem by a dime, because in the first place it wasn't manufactured to hold the liquid. So, and there's no way to change it. You can't be misakin it. Has to be a kli that's miyuchat for holding a liquid, manufactured l'shem kach, and if it wasn't manufactured l'shem kach, you have to make a tikkun later and has to be able to sit, has to hold the revius city.
All these lengths of this, and that, and all these different things. So that was the shaila: how much of the dinam of truma do you carry over? That's what Tosis says. The Mishnah is, and Yadayim have all these dinam, but the question is, do you carry everything over, and it's only a gzeira otu truma.
So that's what the Amora says. Some of them you do carry over, some of them you don't, and we pass and carry everything over. The machman and everything.
Are any of these things the rice was running Kabbalah
to Tumah
to Shein Kli or not? Or these
were
all
no, no. The Kli is Makabal to Makli, even if it doesn't contain a liquid. No. Especially, what is it called? The Tikkun Rabbanan Kain, the rice of Tikkun, what is it patterned after? I don't know. I don't know. What is it patterned after?
You have to have Kabbalah to the Kli that's doing the Kli. Yes.
Yes. It doesn't have a shame kli unless it was manufactured the shame containing a liquid and it can sit like that. It can sit holding the revius. So, mechudish digadin. What's the shaila now? The whole din of Netilas Yadayim for bread is also truma. And truma, the whole concern is, Tam Yadayim Ashniya saying you're going to touch the truma. Sheni osu shlishi the truma. So what if he's going to have, what if he's going to wrap his hands in gloves? Is it necessary to wash until it's Yadayim? If he's going to wrap his hands in it, he's not going to touch the bread. What's the din of such a case? If Boy Luhuda had a suffix, Ma'ulecho bimapo. What's the din if you have a mapa covering your hands? A lot of people thought if you eat your sandwich and the sandwich is wrapped up in paper. But that's not correct. That's not what the Gemara is talking. Gemara is talking if you wrap your hands in a mapa, not if the sandwich is in a mapa. So the shaila is, Michashin Dilmanoga Ilo. Are you concerned that maybe he'll take off the gloves and he's going to touch directly, and then the Stam Yadayim Shnias will be Metami the Truma, and the he carries over to the bread. What's the din? Talking Mar Toshma, there's a Mishnah in Sukkah. So the Mishnah says about eating in the Sukkah, all the 7 days of Sukkah, you're supposed to eat in the Sukkah. Achilas Aro, you're permitted to eat Chutz L'Sukkah. Only Achilas Keva has to be in the Sukkah. What about sleeping? So the Mishnah says, by us, most people don't sleep in the Sukkah, with Mazal don't sleeping. And then Mishnah says, Faket, sleeping is more common than eating, even Shinas Aro, even if a person is supposed to lay down on his head, to take a nap for 10 minutes, both has to be in the Sukkah. The Gemara says, why? Because there's no such thing as Shinas Aroi. Either we're afraid that he may sleep for a few hours, he may take a nap and go and sleep for a few hours, or we say sometimes the 10-minute nap will refresh him, and it's considered like a Shinas Keva.
Sitting in the Sukkah, this is a house, not for a long minute.
Yeah, supposed to be. Yeah, Basuka Teshu Shivas Yamim, Teshu came to Dura. Whatever you do in the house, that's what you're supposed to do in the Sukkah. So the eating and the drinking and the sleeping, Everything should be in the sukkah, and the sleeping is more common than the eating. Yeah. So the Mishnah says that strictly speaking, achilas haroi is mutar chutz l'sukkah. What's called achilas haroi? So the Gemara says if you eat bread up until kibetzah, you know you have to wash and say amoitzi and bench and so on, up until kibetzah can be considered achilas haroi. If you eat more than a kibetzah of bread, then you have to eat a davke in the sukkah. So the Mishnah says that there were tanoim who are makbid not to drink water. The chassidim today who are makbid chassidim anshemais makbid not to drink water chutz l'sukkah. So there were tanoim who had that practice, and then the Mishnah says there were tanoim who didn't have that practice. Holy tanoim who would drink water and they would eat bread chutz l'sukkah chilus aray, and we shouldn't have any taina. How come he doesn't observe the midas chassidim? Not mechuyev to. Even a tana is not mechuyev to. So the Mishnah says, Gushanach no mole Reb Tzorik. Reb Tzorik was a Tana. The Mishnah is quoting him. When they gave him Oichel Pachas Mikibetzo to eat, the Tolo Bimapo, for Oichel Chutz L'Sukkah, he ate a Chutz L'Sukkah. You're not Mechuyev to observe the Midas Chasidus. The Tanaim who wanted to observe the Midas Chasidus, not even to drink water, Chutz L'Sukkah, even though it's Mutter, and those who didn't want it didn't have to. You can't have any kindness again. So the Mishnah says that he would eat Pachas Mikibetzo with a mapa, and he ate chutz l'sukkah ve'ena mevarach acharav. Why is ena mevarach? He didn't recite birchas hamazon, and he ate bread. That's a machlokes Rav Meir Rav Yehuda. Tosfos quotes. That's a machlokes Hatanan Rav Meir Rav Yehuda. How much bread do you have to eat in order to be obligated to bench birchas hamazon? So we pass in kazayis. If you eat a kazayis, and the other tana passes, you have to eat a kibetza because the pasuk says ve'achalta v'savoto. What does it mean v'savoto? So this time it says, Yachalta would have meant, Ein Achil Chutz Mikazayis would have meant Kazayis. Now that it says, Savata means twice as much, you have to eat a Kibetza. The other time it says, no, Chalta means Kazayis, and Savata means Shtir. If you eat bread, if you eat a sandwich, you didn't have anything to drink, then the obligation to bench is only with the Rabbanim. That's the Ramah quotes that opinion in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say you have three people are benching together, you're going to bench Mezumin. So benching mezumin, the original din of benching mezumin is that one person says the benching, and the others are yoytzei. The others only say amen; they don't say along. We have the practice. Shulchan Aruch recommends everybody should say along softly with the mezamim because by us it's hard to pay attention. We're afraid I'm going to say along. My mind is going to wander, and I'm not going to pay attention. I won't be yoytzei the birchas hamazon. But strictly speaking, the real birchas hazimun is that one person benches mezumin; he says the whole benching. The other just pay attention and they say amen. So let's say one of them had a sandwich and he had a drink. And the others didn't have anything to drink. They just had bread, they didn't have a drink. So the Ramah quotes when they were shining, the one who had achilo shtia is more mechuyev to bench. According to this opinion, v'achalta means kazayis, v'savata means shtia. So he's mechuyev menator to bench. And the others are only mechuyev to bench men the Rabbanim. So let him bench mezumin, because he's got to be mighty them. His benching, he's more mechuyev than they are. We really assume halacha lemaisa, you're only mechuyev to bench if you ate kedei tzviya. You ate kedei tzviya. If you just had in a concentration camp, they give you a kazayis of bread and a drink of water, we pass to the benching is only with the rabbanon there. And even if you had a kibetz of bread, but you're still starving. You're still starving after the meal. The benching is only with the rabbanon. We assume the achalta v'savata, he ate a full meal and he's not hungry afterwards. So then you mechuyev to bench menatur. We pass on halacha lemaisa like that. If a person ate a meal, and then he's half asleep and he doesn't remember whether he benched or not. So if he ate kedei tzviya and he's obligated to bench menatar and he's mesupik whether he benched or not, so sabik derayta to the chorma, he has to bench over. If he only had a kazayas or a kedeitza and he's still hungry, he didn't have kedei tzviya, so he passed to the benching is only with the rabbanon. And if he has a sabik whether he benched or not, he should not bench over again. He would say sabik brachas lahakam. Sabik brachas lahakam only applies when the bracha is the rabbanon. When it's a bracha derayta, that's that person mesupik if he said kiddush. The kiddush is a chiyuv deraisa. They have the suffix and the block of kiddush. He has to say over. Or if he ate kedei tzviya, he ate a real filling meal and he has to bench min ha-Torah. So then birchas hamazon deraisa. So he wouldn't say suffix brachas lahav. So there are different opinions. So we assume that Rabbi Natan's opinion is that kazayis is deraisa. But we really don't, Mishnah Berurah said, we really don't pass like that. We pass on only birchas hamazon deraisa when you actually had kedei tzviya. So the Mishnah in Sukkot tells this whole story. The Reb Tzadik was a Tana, and the other Tanoim were Machmer not to drink a sip of water out of the Sukkah. He was not Machmer. even if you're a Tana, you're not mechuyev to observe this midas chasidus. And he would eat pachas mikibetza chutz l'sukkah. He didn't wash until his yadayim. He wrapped his hands with a mape, he wore gloves, and he ate a chutz l'sukkah because less than a kibetza, even a kibetza, yes, a mikibetza is called achilas keva. A kibetza or less is called achilas aroi. That's why in Shulchan Aruch it says that on Shabbos, Friday night and Shabbos in the daytime in Shalshudas, you have to have, there's one opinion, you have to wash how much bread you have to have. So there's an opinion in Shulchan Aruch, yotze mikibetza. You have to have yotze mikibetza. Usually people say you have to have a kazayis of bread. That's not the mainstream opinion of Shulchan Aruch. Mainstream opinion is yotze mikibetza because they borrowed it from the din of Sukkah. The Gemara says in Sukkah, that daf chavov. If you eat a kazayis of bread, chutz l'sukkah, kazayis or less, that's called achilas aroi. If you eat more than a kazayis of bread, that's called achilas keva, then you have to eat it in the sukkah. So he ate less than a kibetza, chutz l'sukkah, and he didn't recite Birchas Hamas, because he followed the other task. We don't pass on like that. We pass and you have to bench if you had a kazayis. He followed the opinion of the other task, you only have to bench. Has the shayla in the chumash? It only says v'chalta v'savata v'rakta bat bichas hamoz and after the meal. Then the Gemara says, how do you know you have to say a bracha before you start eating the food? So the Gemara says, a kavachayim or whatever, the same thing. It says in the chumash you have to bench after eating. So who adinam you have to say a bracha before? But the benching after the eating is only if you had a kazayis. That's how we paskin. So maybe the bracha before is only if you have a kazayis. If you're going to eat less than a kazayis, maybe you don't have to say a bracha. Just like you don't say bar nefashis if you ate something that's less than a kazayis, or you drank something less than a viz, and maybe you don't have to say bracha rishayna if the food is less than a kazayis, less than a viz. That's what Taisus always writes, and it's a Talmud Yerushalmi like that. The Ferisha Gemara says, no. Bracha rishayna is also l'adam shihana merala mazay b'lay bracha. You have to say bracha even if you're having less than a kashir. The Yeshua Ma'alani for the bracha achrayna. In order to be mechuyev to say bichas amazin, to say bar nefashis, they need a shear. There is an opinion in the Rishonim, we don't pass like this, that in order to say the fancy super duper bracha of hamotzi lechem min haaretz, you have to have a kazayis. If you have less than a kazayis, you got to say a bracha, but not hamotzi, you say bar minim zayin. So you say shahakul, you say some other bracha. But we don't pass like that. We pass if you just eat a crumb of bread, that's eating a matzah mil. So Ashkenazim say hamotzi hamatzah. So Sfaradim only say hamotzi hamatzah on Lel Pesach, when they kaver sudan. They're not kaver suda, the same design as on matzah. Ashkenazim say hamotzi hamatzah. So if you eat matzah mil, the bracha is hamotzi. But there's one at the Ravid sheet, they only say hamotzi. Hamotzi has a special super bracha, special hashivas. Only has a hashivas if you have a kazak. We don't hold like that. So the Gemara quotes that Mishnah, the Rav Tzadik did not wash until his yadayim, the tola b'mapa. And he didn't wash until his yadayim. My love, Dr. Gemara, the only reason why he didn't wash until his yadayim, because he ate less than the kibetza. Oh, kibetza, but if he would have eaten the kibetza of bread, boy, until his yadayim, he would have had to wash until his yadayim in advance, even though he's wrapping his hands in a glove. Why should it make a difference whether you're eating a kibetza, you're eating less than a kibetza? So there's a din in the Gemara, we learned it when we were learning Saita. The last part of Saita we learned was the middle of Saita. So there the Gemara says, Oichel is mekabel tum even kolshu, even a small amount, but Oichel to be metame acherim, if Oichel is tummy, you want to transmit tum to something else, but the Oichel has to have a kibetza. If the Oichel is less than a kibetza, you cannot transmit tum to something else. So what about the fact that it's mekabel, and this is learned now from a pasuk. How much can you swallow one shot? So Gemara says a kibetza. You can swallow an egg without chewing it up. Chewing it up, you can swallow more than an egg at one time. But to swallow a lump of food, so if you're going to swallow too big a piece, you're going to choke. So Gemara says the base of food is only maxic and kibetza. So the Gemara establishes, based on that pasuk, that oichel the tami acherim is only if it's a kibetza. So what about tumas atzmo? So that's a machlekes Rashi and the Rabbein Tam in many places in Shas. Every other mesech that comes up. So the Rabbein Tam claims that the Natoira, the oichel is only mekabel tumah if it's kibetza, just like it's not the tami acherim unless it's kibetza. And the din that Tumas Atzman is even less than the Gemara, that's only Midrabban. And Rabbi Natam interprets Gemaras based on this assumption. He disagrees with Rashi in explaining many different Gemaras and different Mitzvahs. So that's the Pasha Pshat over here also. That the Oichel less than the Kibetza is not Mekabal Tumma Min HaTorah. The only reason why you have to wash until it's Yadayim, Mekoyin has to wash until it's Yadayim. Anyone has to wash until it's Yadayim before you touch Truma, because Tam Yadayim Shnei is saying, going to touch the Truma is going to be Metamiyah. So if you say like the Rabbi Natam, Oichel less than the Kibetza is not Mekabal Tumma Min HaTorah. So you're talking about a Derabbanon on top of a Derabbanon. Yadayim Shnei is saying there's only a Din with the Derabbanon. The Oichel less than the Kibetza is only Mekabal Tumma Min HaTorah. So if you're wearing gloves, so there's room to be makel. But if he would, so the Gemara makes a diuk. He only allowed wearing the gloves because he was eating less than the kibetza. But if he would have eaten the kibetza or more, he would not have relied on the mapo. My lab, the diuk in the Mishnah is, for kibetza, if he would have eaten a full kibetza or more, pointed to the Siddhant, he wouldn't rely on the gloves. You see that you're not supposed to be makel. You're not supposed to, it's not proper to be makel to eat bread without the tumas yadayim if you're going to have a kibetza. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily so. He did a lot of things over here. He didn't, the Mishnah says, he ate chutz l'sukkah, and he didn't say birchas hamazon, and he wore gloves, and he didn't wash until Sayyidah, you know, a whole bunch of things. So something is going to change if he's going to eat a kibetza. So who says that what's going to change is if you eat a kibetza, the gloves don't help? No. The kibetza, then he would bench birchas hamazon at the end. The machlekes of Yudin Ramer, how much bread do you have to eat in order to bench? So we pass in kazayas, we pass in the rabban on kazayas. And this Tana Reb Tzadik pass him like the other Tana, if you eat a kibetza, you have to bench. So that's what would have changed. So the Gemara Dilma, maybe that's not the correct deal. Called kibetza, boy sukkah, boy broch. If he would have eaten a kibetza of bread, he would have had to recite birchas hamazon at the end. Maybe if you would have eaten a kibetza, we assume yosef a kibetza, you have to eat in the sukkah. Kibetza, you don't have to. Up until the including a kibetza bread is called achilas harashi. Yosef a kibetza is called achilas kavas. Mar says, maybe that's what it means. He ate less than a kibetza bread, chutz l'sukkah. He wouldn't eat, if he would have eaten a kibetza, maybe he would have been insisting on eating it in the sukkah. We don't follow that. We say more than a kibbutz. The Gemara says there's no raya for that mission.
What does it mean? Feels a dime according to that.
We don't know what's the answer. Toshmat. The Gemara says, what's the din? Do you have to wash until it's a dime? I mean, if you had planned to put gloves on or not. Dog the Gemara Toshmat from a Maisa Shahoyah. The Shmuel Ashkechei LeRav. Rav and Shmuel were Chaverim. They learned by Rav Yehuda Hanasi in Eretz Yisrael. And then they went to chutzlores. There were Jewish communities in chutzlores where they needed rabbis. They were big amaratzim. They didn't know anything. The Machal Shabbos, they were eating treifas. They were violating the laws of Taras HaMishpacha. So each one, they both went to Bovel on the same boat, the Gemara describes. Each one went to a different community, and there were big marbitzei Torah.
The Shmuel saw Rab was coming on there to Bovel. Shmuel saw these waves.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he came before. Shmuel came before, yeah. So each one went to a different community. So on one occasion, Shmuel Ashkechei LeRav the Ko'ochel B'mapo. He ate bread and he didn't wash and he was wearing gloves. Amalei, so he asked Rav, Avdin Kedei, that's permissible. You're allowed to eat wearing gloves with that until it's a dime. Amalei, no. I don't want to get my fingers sticky. I'm eating tuna fish there. I don't want my fingers to smell from tuna fish. He's going to put his fingers on the Gemara later on. So that's why he's wearing gloves. I did wash. I did wash before. Amalei, daitik tzara alai. I don't want to touch the tuna fish. I don't want to touch the bread, whatever. So Rashi says, but it means, I'm fishing the top of your day. I did wash until the night. So from that Maisa Shahoya, what do you see? That you're not supposed to eat bread even if you're wearing gloves. That was the response. That's what Shmuel thought, that Rav is eating bread without until the Zedan because he's wearing gloves. And he said, no, I'm wearing the gloves because I'm an istadis. I don't want to get my fingers sticky. But I did wash until the Zedan even though I'm wearing gloves. What's the din? He's supposed to wash until the Zedan even if he's wearing gloves. So Gemara tells a story. Kisalik Rav Zeira. Abzera was a character. He lived in Bavel, he learned in Bavel many years, and he went there to Israel.
And then he fasted, what does the Gemara say? He fasted 100 days in order to forget everything that he learned in Chutzlot, because in Eretz Yisrael there was a different Derech HaLimud. So he wanted to pick up the Derech HaLimud in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So Rab Zeira went to Eretz Yisrael. Ashkichinu l'Rabami v'Rabasi, the Koachli, he bumps into them. They're eating the Baloi Chamosas, they're wearing shmatas wrapped around their hands, and they didn't wash until the Sadan. They're eating bread, and they didn't wash until the Sadan. Omar, so he screams out, Trey Gabri Rabbi Bikabasai, Chutub Dik Talmina Chachamim like you, and you got the story wrong. There was a they lived in Eretz Yisrael. So they must have heard a rumor. There was a story with Rabbi Shmuel about eating with gloves, but that Matilus Yadayim. So he said, two big prominent rabbis, little bit the Rabbi Shmuel. He got the story wrong. Hadai Tik Tzaraka Amar. No, what Shmuel said? Who said? Rab said. Rab said, I'm wearing gloves because I don't want to touch the bread, but I did wash until it's Yadayim. You have to wash until it's Yadayim, even if you're not going to touch the bread, even if you're going to wear gloves. So it's not right that you two big rabbis are eating the bread without washing the tilasadah. So the Gemara, Rab Zeira was a bit of a hothead. So Ishtamitzeh, he made a mistake. He forgot the following memory. Ishtamitzeh had forgotten, Hod Omer al Tachlifa Baravimi Omer Shmuel, Hittirim Apeloich Lechumah Vela Hittirim Apeloich Letaris. Rabami Rabasi Kohanim Havu. Rabami Rabasi lived in Eretz Yisrael. Tosfos points out there were four people. There was Rebbe Ami v'Rebbe Asi. There was Rav Ami v'Rav Asi. Rebbe means he has smicha. Smicha, you have to be in Eretz Yisrael. Smicha has to be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. Once you get smicha in Eretz Yisrael, you go to Chutz Lord, the smicha remains. It doesn't vanish into thin air. But you can't confer smicha in Chutz Lord. What we have today is only imitation smicha. That's what the Ramah quotes from the Abar Ben El. I think it's the only place in Shulchan Aruch where the Ramah quotes on Abar Ben El, and you don't need the Abar Ben El to say it's a Gemara like that. That the smicha we have today is only imitation smicha, because no such thing as smicha b'chutz l'aretz. Basement though, it's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. So there was Rav Ami v'Rav Asi where Yedidim, they both lived in Bavel. Rebbe Ami v'Rebbe Asi were Talmidim of Rebbe Yochanan, they lived in Eretz Yisrael. So this Reb Zeira comes to Eretz Yisrael and didn't realize Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi were Kohanim and they're reading Truma. So the din is, Kohanim, we assume Kohanim as Rizmei. The Kohanim are usually more careful than other people, in more medactic than other people in Shmiras HaMitzvahs. So when Kohanim, who are medactic, are going to eat Truma, or even if they're going to eat bread, we would be making that they can wear gloves and they don't have to wash until it's a time. But as far as anyone who's not a Kohen is concerned, we would not be, as far as anyone else, they're not going to be eating Truma, they're going to be eating bread. As far as eating other people other than Kohanim, we would not be Mekel. So Rab Zeir, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he got upset. The Rabbi, Rabasi are doing wrong that they got the story also today. No, everything was correct. They were Kohanim. So by Kohanim, Hitiram Apa, Shmuel said it also. The name of Shmuel. Hitiram Apa Loch Lechuma. Kohanim, we are Mekel, because Kohanim has reason. We don't have to be concerned. Hitiram Apa Loch Letaris. If other people are not Kohanim, we wouldn't be Mekel. And they were Kohanim. So halacha ma'isa, what's the din? You're not allowed to be mekel to eat bread without washing the tilas yadayim, unless your kohen is eating truma. You don't have kohanim today eating any truma. You have to wash the tilas yadayim. Sometimes the Gemara has.
What is the reason for washing it? Two different reasons. One is for bread, one is for truma. Because you don't have truma, I don't understand why they're not obligated to wash because of bread.
The Gzeira bread in Gemara said Mishum Srak Truma. It was a carryover from the din of Truma. So if the original din by Truma is because you're afraid you're going to be Metami the Truma, Stani Daim Shnia Saint, so they carried over the din to bread as well.
So we're afraid that they're going to be doing it, so therefore we are mocking on ourselves and we should go on. But they themselves are scrupulous.
Because Kohanim, as Rizimhem, Kohanim are more careful than most
it's
other
not
people.
They started because of the Kohanim.
It started with the Quran, right?
That they should be careful, but not discuss things over with some of the hands,
right?
So now you're saying, no, they were more there, but we still remain with the thing.
Correct. We have the life log, but by then we will be Mekel, because they are more medactic than us.
We have the Kula because of that.
Okay. We don't have the Kula. We can't follow the Kula that they have, because we're not so medactic. I think you're Mekel on that, too. I think Ochle Chum, I think we're Mekel even if they're eating bread. I think so.
Where do we have this? Where do we have this din that if you wear gloves, you don't have to wash? So there's a Gemara Psachim. Let's say a person has a sandwich, and he's traveling, and there's no place. He's in the Sahara Desert. There's no place to get any water, and he's going to have to wait 5 hours till he's going to get back to the civilization to be able to wash until it's a night. So the Gemara says, if he's hungry now and he wants to eat, and it's going to be a long time to wait. So then the Gemara says, you're allowed to wash without until it's a night. So that's when the Rishonim say, when you make up to eat, you're allowed to eat the bread without until it's a night. So when he's eating without until it's a night, then they say, let him eat Da'ide Mapo. Hotnish Kembreira. He wants to eat. You're not mechuyev to wait so long. How long are you mechuyev to wait? Dalit mil is how long? 1 mil, they say, is 18 minutes. Mishnah Berurah says a mil is 18 minutes. How much is 18 times 4? 72 minutes. And others say that a mil is really 22 and a half minutes. They say when the Mishnah Berurah quoted the Achronim to say that a mil is 18 minutes, it was a different time system. We have 60 seconds in a minute and 60 minutes in an hour. And the Achronim that the Mishnah Berurah is quoting, the Achronim say beverish, they had a different system, that it wasn't the same as our system. So when they say 18 minutes, in our language it's really 22 and a half minutes. Because read the Gemara in Psachim, in the ninth parak in Psachim, nobody says it's 18 minutes. It's either 22 and a half minutes or 24 minutes. So if you have 22 and a half minutes times 4, so how much is that? An hour and a half. So if you have to wait, let's say a person is hungry. So if he thinks he'll get to a place with his water in an hour and a half, so he should postpone eating the bread for an hour and a half. So let him suffer hungry. But if he thinks it's going to take longer than an hour and a half, then we allow him already to eat the bread now without until it's a time. So then the Rishonim, some Rishonim say, let him put on gloves. In such a situation, let him put on gloves. Yeah. The was black halacha lemaisa with the din, we're not sure. That thing we did give an answer, yes. We're only mekel for kohanim and for non-kohanim, we're not mekel, right? The next shayla, we have no answer. Iboy lehu anu shayla. Oichel, machmas machil, tzorach until it's a day malop. A person is sitting, and I'm putting the bread into his mouth. He's not touching the bread at all. I'm putting the food in his mouth. I'm touching the food. So there is no requirement. If I'm serving truma, I'm a waiter, and I'm serving truma, I'm serving kachin, so I better wash until it says I'm before I touch anything. I'm going to patzel everything up. If I have stanya daim shnir saying, I'm not going to wash until it says I'm. I'll touch karbonas and I'll touch truma. Everything will be possible. So you have no choice. Of course you have to wash until it says I'm. But let's say a waiter is serving in a hotel, and he's serving bread. So he's not eating the bread. So that's for sure. The waiters do not have to wash until it's a dayim, just because they're touching the bread. And even if they're going to feed some of the guests the bread, they're going to put it in their mouth, the machil doesn't have to wash until it's a dayim. The answer to Shaila is, what about the oichel? The oichel, the whole din is a carryover from truma. And the whole din by truma started off, that's tam yadayim shnir, saying you're going to touch the food of the truma, you're going to patzel it, you're going to make it a shlishi. But if he's not, the one who's eating is not touching the food, so are you still machman that he needs until it's a dayim? So what's the din? Toshma, listen to the following story. The Rabchi, the Ravuna, Baris Koira, Havikoi, Kamei, the Rav Hamnune. One rabbi was in the presence of another one. Bolam Lei Umtzus, he put a big chunk of flesh in his mouth, and then he put some bread in his mouth also. Taisa says, Umtzus means a piece of flesh, and the top Taisa says, Upasimo. And he gave him a little bit of bread also. Ve'ochel, and the other one was eating. Amalei, so the one who was feeding Rav Schar, who is it? Ravuna Bar Schar was feeding Rav Hamnuna. So he made a comment, he loved the Rav Hamnuna ad, if not for the fact that you're a tzaddik, you're a big kamachacham, lo safinu loch, I would never have fed you the bread. What does that mean? I know that you certainly washed in advance. I'm relying on you. You asked me, I should, let's say he didn't feel well, his hands hurt, whatever he has. Whatever, he has something with his hands. So he has someone else to please feed him. So the one who's feeding him says, it's only because you're a big tzaddik, that's why I'm feeding you. If not for the fact that you're a tzaddik and I know for sure that you wash until it's a time in advance, I wouldn't be feeding you. So the Gemara says, my time, that's the shot. What does that mean? My time, what does that mean? It's not a matter of fact that you're a Ramnu, that wouldn't be my time. What does it mean? La Mishum Dizor Hivalo Naga, maybe what it meant was, you know the din, so you're going to be careful not to touch it. Someone else is not going to be careful. So Rav Hamnuna will be careful not to touch it. So he doesn't have to do it until he's dying in advance. Someone else is not so learned, will not be careful. So we'll insist he has to do it until he's dying. So the Gemara says, is that what it means? So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Maybe what it means is, the Zoris called him in Moshe Yadim Eikar. Maybe what it means is, not that you'll be careful not to touch. Maybe what it means is that you already washed until it's a dime from before. So you can't tell. From that story, you can't tell halacha l'maisa, what's the din. The person will be, the one is feeding the bread to the other one. The waiter doesn't have to wash until it's a dime because he's touching bread. The one is feeding bread to the other person doesn't have to wash until it's a dime. If he's not eating bread, for sure there's no takon. But just the one who's being fed bread, and he has the hands behind his back, whatever, they tied up his hands, or he's having some treatment on his hands, whatever. So that's the shailah. The oichel machmas machil. Someone else is feeding him, so he can't tell from the story what's the din. He has to wash until it's a daimara. Toshma, let's quote another story. Let's see. The Omar Rab Zera, Omar Rab, they quote in the name of Rab, Le'itaron, proves of the Tav Pip Shal Shamosh. This is the waiter. So in the middle of the meal, so it says, I shouldn't put a piece of bread into the mouth of the Shamish. Ellen Kenya Derbo should not tell you, unless I know that the waiter washed until it's a diamond in advance. So what does it sound like? What's the problem? Why does the Shamish have to wash? Why does the waiter have to wash until it's a diamond? The guest in the restaurant is putting the bread into his mouth. Why does he have to wash until it's time in advance? So it sounds like, someone else is feeding me, even though I'm not touching the bread, you have to wash until it's done. That's what it sounds like. And now there's a new shaila. Let's say the waiter keeps on going to the kitchen and brings food. He goes to the kitchen, brings some more food. So let's say the guests in the restaurant, they're paying for all the food. So they're going to pay whatever food they're going to give the waiter to eat. They're going to pay. They're not stealing from the establishment. They're going to cover all expenses. Let's say they give him a cup of wine, and then he comes back. He keeps on going to the kitchen, bringing, keeping, going back and forth. Does he have to say Baruch Piagovin on the next cup of wine? If they give him a second and a third and a fourth cup of wine, or for, let's say he had a little bit of bread and he said Amotzi, he did wash until it's a diamond and then you shouldn't put it into the waiter's mouth unless he washed until it's done. He did wash until it's time and he said Amotzi. So then he comes back a second time and they give him another piece of bread. Does he have to say another time Amotzi Lachman or is that not? So when a person sits down to eat a meal and he says Amotzi, so he's going to eat until he benches. Whatever he's going to eat is all included. Everything is covered. But the waiter keeps on going in and out. So maybe it's like a Hesach Hadad. Maybe he only knows he's going to get to give him a little bit now. That's it. Maybe if he's going to have another little bit later, that's a new achila. Maybe you need a new bracha. So that's what the Gemara discusses, the details of the Hesed Hadas. The first thing that we said is about the Netilas Yadayim. You shouldn't put bread into the waiter's mouth. The waiter's going to say, Amoytzi. Shouldn't put bread into his mouth unless he washed Netilas Yadayim. Sounds like that's the answer. Sounds like that's the answer to the question. What kind of things are that? That's not necessarily the same. We'll have to see why.
And is there a difference? Yeah. You have a waiter in
house, or
someone, whatever the person brings out.
Right. If I'm sitting and eating, I'm not a waiter. Then when I say a bracha, it covers everything. It covers all the bread that I'm going to eat. It covers all the wine. Whatever they're going to give me will be covered. But the waiter, the Gemara assumes, maybe it's a Hesach Hadas. Maybe every time they give him permission to have a nibble or to drink a little bit of wine, that's only now, and he may not think he's going to get anything more in the future. So the Gemara goes into the details of the Hesach Hadas story. A Shabbos mevorach al kol kos v'kos. If they gave him a little bit of wine, and then later on, the next time, three times in and out, they give him another cup of wine. They keep on being matrichim. So then they give him another cup of wine. So the first opinion says, you have to say Baruch Piagofen on each cup of wine, because it has chadas. However, on Hamotzi, every fourth time he comes back from the kitchen, and they give him another piece of bread as a bonus, because they're matrichim, and mevorach al kol prusa prusa. Now say Hamotzi on every little bit of bread. It's not a Hesach Hadas, because they assume they're probably going to give him more bread. They're always leftover bread. Wine is more expensive. So when they give him one cup of wine, he thinks that's it. When they give him one slice of bread, is not Hesed Hadam. So Rabbi Yochanan sounds like he disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rabbi Zeira Amar Rav. Rachakol Prusa Prusa. He has to say Amoitzi on every slice of bread. So it sounds like it's a machlokes between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. The Amar Rav Papa says, I don't think it's a machlokes. Bishleim with the Rav Rabbi Yochanan Loikash. I don't think it's a machlokes. Hadik Adam Choshu Hadalek Adam Choshu. Each one is talking about a different case. If the Balabatim they're not such Tamir Chachamim, so just because he gave one slice of bread doesn't mean he's going to get another slice of bread in the future. They're not going to be so free with the bread. So that's called the Hesach Hadas. In every slice of bread that he has to say another bracha. That's Rabbi Yechanan said, Mavarach al kol prusa prusa. But if you have an Adam Choshuv in the meal, Adam Choshuv is Mavater. If they gave one slice of bread, Mishtama will give him another slice of bread. And Mishtama there won't be any Hesach Hadas. Okay. So that what seems to be a machlokes between Rabbi Yechanan and Rav, Papa says, I don't think that's a machlokes. But what about, so that's the details with the Hesach Hadas story. What about the first thing that he said? The first thing he said was, you're not allowed to put bread into the mouth of the waiter. The waiter's going to say a bracha moisi. Not allowed to put bread in his mouth unless he washed until he says dine. So the Gemara says, Mikoma Kamba, what's the first thing that he said? Leave out the part that seems to be a machlokes. Maybe it is machlokes, maybe it's not a machlokes. Maybe they're talking two different cases. The first thing that he said, someone else is putting the bread into the mouth of the Shabbos, the waiter has to wash until it's done. Mara says, no, the waiter is a different story. The waiter is touching the bread all the time. He's serving the meal. So if you're going to tell the waiter, I'm going to put bread into your mouth, don't touch the bread. What do you mean, don't touch? He's touching the whole meal. So he's probably not going to listen. He probably will touch the bread that he's eating also. He's touching the bread that he serves on the table. So the Gemara answers, Shiny Shaman is the turret. He's busy the whole time serving food. So the Shaman probably will be touching. Ultimately, you put a little bit of bread in his mouth. He's probably going to hold it. He will touch it. So there, we say, Ocho Machmas Machil has to wash until it's done. It doesn't necessarily be poishet the Shaman that we have. It could be the waiter is different. So we still don't know what they did. Still don't know what they did. What's going to be the final maskana? Let's see the last line. What's the utish the shura? What's the last line before the mishnah? The hilchasa. You got it. By the time the letter's dying, the hilchasa. Bottom line. Elcha machmas machul tzarich netilas yadayim. The one is eating needs to netilas yadayim even though he's not touching the food. We don't say the waiter is different. We don't say shiny shamish. And machalena tzarich netilas yadayim. The one is touching bread. The one is feeding the bread never has to wash netilas yadayim. The only shaila we had was, if someone else is feeding me, do I have, I'm eating the bread. So the Gemara at first brought one ride, and Matchet says, the bottom line is going to be, you do have to wash until it's enough. So before...
Akana was on the Yochel, not on the man.
Yeah, the Akana was on the Yochel. Whoever eats bread has to have until it's enough. So let's see, what was the other ride, Tana Rabbanu? We have a brisa. Lo yitim adam prusa v'shamash. You shouldn't give the waiter a piece of bread. Bein shakos biyodo, bein shakos biyodo shol balabayis. Let's say you have a host and you have guests and you have the waiter. And one of the guests is going to give some bread to the waiter. The balabayis didn't give him the bread. The guest is giving the bread. So the balabayis may start to scream. So someone may choke over here. Someone's holding a cup of wine. The waiter is holding the cup of wine, the balabai is holding the cup of wine, and someone may get upset over here. Why are they giving anything to nibble to the waiter? So it says, you better not, la'itadan prusa l'shamash, you shouldn't give him to nibble on the bread at the time that there's a coast. Ben shakos biyodo, whether the waiter is holding the coast of wine, ben shakos biyodo shabalabai, why shem yarit val kakola besuda. Somebody may choke, someone may be makbid, somebody may choke. Okay. If the waiter didn't wash until it's time, also lead them prusa the tarpif. That's what we had before. That's the same thing we had before. We just didn't know whether shiny shamish, maybe the waiter is different because he's touching all the food the whole time. So he's probably going to touch the bread in his mouth also. But we don't say it like that. So the final maskan is going to be that Echo Machmas Mach, not only sham, everybody has to. Okay. Now the Gemara has the Shaila Farketi. Boy, who the Shaila was? Machel Tzar to the Stein Ma'ed Tzar. What about the one who's feeding the other person? Does he have to wash? So the answer is going to be no. But at the end of the day, the answer is going to be no. So Gemara Toshma, we have a Brisa, the Tani Be'i Menashe, Rabbi Shimon
The Tana has the following braisa. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel omer, Isha medichas yodo achas b'mayim. We're talking on Yom Kippur. If you have little children, so you have to feed the children on Yom Kippur. You have to feed the children. Minchas chinuch has a chiddush. You're only allowed to feed little children if there's a suffix sakana. Usually there's no suffix sakana. Feed the child, they'll scream a lot. If you don't feed the children, they'll scream a lot. If it's mamish, a little infant, he may scream on the top of his lungs until he may die. But let's say a 5-year-old child, if you don't give any food on Yom Kippur, he's not going to die. He'll be very angry at you. So the Rabbi Natam and the Sefer Yosher quote such a Midas Chassidus like the Minchas Chinuch, that you're not allowed to feed a child food on Yom Kippur lest there's a suffix sakana. And Rabbi Natam makes fun of it. He said that's ridiculous. The Gemara says there in Yuma that the din is you're not allowed to feed little children tray for food. You're not allowed to have, not allowed to lead a child on, a little child even kodim shegir l'chinuch, not allowed to lead a child on to do an aveira. That's only if it's out of the routine. But if it's a routine thing, you always feed children. So the Gemara seems to say that there's not din of asal achila b'yadan. That's what the Rabbi Natan makes fun of this Midas Chassidus. Minchas Chinuch didn't have a Sefer Yosher, so he writes like the Midas Chassidus. He's not allowed to feed little children unless he gives the suffix takon.
What do you mean here by feeding little children? Putting food in their mouth? Or preparing a plate, putting on the table?
Putting on the table also. Putting on the table also. That's also called asal achila b'yadan. I can tell that the kid is in shul and he's hungry, so I said, there are sandwiches at home. You want to eat, go home. That's not called machila b'yadayim. I say, the sandwiches are in the refrigerator. Go eat whatever you want. But if I put the food on the table in front of him, that's called machila b'yadayim. So the Minchas Chinuch came up with the chiddush. You're not allowed to put the food in front of the child. Even kodesh shegil chinuch, unless the child is mamish holding by something. Rabbi Natan says it's ridiculous. Nobody follows that. Midas Chassid. So the Gemara says, Toshma, on Yom Kippur, usually the mother is in charge of taking care of the little children. So the Gemara says, Isha medichas yoda achas b'mayim. The woman has to wash one hand for some kind of a ruach ra. She should wash it. On Yom Kippur, there's a din, you're not allowed to rechitza zasa, you're not allowed to wash your hands. Any rechitza zasa, because we label it as rechitza shaltaida. Rechitza is only also on Yom Kippur, but it's rechitza shaltaida. So if a person has to go to mikveh, that's rechitza shal mitzvah. Whether you hold tefillah b'zman mitzvah, tefillah b'zman la mitzvah, tefillah the mikveh is matar, so that's mutter. Let's say, when the din was that a Balkari is not allowed to daven, there was a Takana Zezra, Balkari is not allowed to daven unless he goes to the mikveh. So at that time, going to the mikveh for a Balkari was permissible on Yom Kippur, the halacha requires. He has to daven. Let's say he already davened mincha, he didn't daven the ila yet. So the Gemara, the last daven Yuma has a machlega satanoim, can you daven ila balaylo? Or do you have to daven ila bayom? So the Gemara says, if a person became a Balkari after he davened mincha and he didn't daven ila yet, if you only can daven ila balaylo, wait till after Yom Kippur is over. Go to the mikveh after Yom Kippur is over, then daven nila. If you only have to daven nila bayom, or at least start davening nila bayom, so then you have to go to mikveh on Yom Kippur. Because man is there, the whole takana says, all is undone. So you're not allowed to go to mikveh because you're a balkari, because you can daven without it. So let's say a person, on Yom Kippur, a person has to eat bread. A choyla, masukan, he has to eat bread. He has to wash until he's dead. So that's mutter. That's not called b'chitzu shaltaini. That's the Torah. Let's say the kohen wanted duchen. So we are machmir the kohen have to wash until the sedaim. So that's not called rechitzu shaltayim. Even it says in the later poskim, many levim have a minig that they wash their hands before they wash the kohanim's hands for the tilsa sedaim. That's a minig based on the Zohar. Even though that's not a universal minig, only some kohanim have. But since they're doing it because they that's their minig, they're doing because the mechuyim to do. They're not doing it because they want to have rechitzu shaltayim. So that's not called shaltayim. So he rolls the pound eating. More is concerned that some kind of a ruach ra, when a woman wants to feed the child, she has to wash that hand that she's going to touch the food with. If she has to deal with the food with both hands, she has to wash both hands. She's able to deal with the food with one hand. Isha midichas yoda achas b'mayim on Yom Kippur. And there's no isra b'chitzu, because it's not called b'chitzu shaltaynik, because it's l'tzorech, it's required because of the ruach ra. And it's then it's possible b'no kotzer. That's the din. Amr Olam al Shammai HaZokain, Hillel Shammai lived 100 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni, the Gemara says. So Shammai was a big machmir. So he was machmir, Shalei Ratzel Achol B'yod Achaz. He didn't want to wash his hands. He didn't want to feed the child. Well, what was he going to do? Well, I don't know what he was going to do. He didn't want them. Because we're all up, so the contemporaries of Shammai forced him She yakov the shtei yadim. They said, wash both hands. They insisted. Wash both hands and feed the child. Apparently his wife wasn't around, so he had to feed the child. Because there was an issue of ruach ro. So what is the Gemara quoting this? What did it try to prove? The mother is not eating on Yom Kippur. Shammai HaZakeh is not eating on Yom Kippur. The Gemara thought, because he's feeding bread to the children, the Gemara's answer is, no, he's not feeding bread. He's giving apples. He's giving oranges. He's not feeding bread because of ruach ro. The first thing Gemara thought, because he's feeding bread to the children, so you see that the machel has to wash until it's done. Amar Abai, no, it has nothing to do. Hasam Yisham Shipso. This is a Ruach Ra that's called Shipso. That's why you have to wash until the Zidan. Where is this? What is this Ruach Ra? The Rashi says, oh, that's the Ruach Ra. When you wake up in the morning, there's a Ruach Ra, and you have to wash Negel Vasa before you touch the food. Taisa says, Negel Vasa you have to wash in the morning when you wake up. The Gemara says, if you don't wash until the Zidan in the morning, the Ruach Ra may affect if you touch your face or you touch your body. So it may have a negative effect. So everybody already washed the Ruach Ra in the morning. Everybody washed in the morning. This is a new Ruach Ra. When you're about to feed a little child, you have to wash until it's a daiman that him. How come nobody does it this man is there? So Taisa says, in our Medinas, we don't have this Ruach Ra.
But he means the Ruach Ra B'Shachris. He says B'Shachris is this Ruach Ra B'Shachris.
Rashi says Ruach Ra and Shachris when you wake up. Right, and Taisa disagrees with Rashi. The Ruach Ra and Shachris.
It's not Mitzuyah, this
morning. No, that Ruach Ra we wash until it's a daim in the morning, because otherwise you can't touch your body.
Everybody's
going to
wash.
Even those who are not feeding the children. And this is a new Ruach Ra. When you're about to feed the child, there's a new Ruach Ra. I say, come on, we feed our children. We don't wash until it's a daim on Yom Kippur. So Taisa says, this Ruach Ra is not the Matzit Beinenu. That's how Taisa writes at the end. Other things that stay in the Gemara that are sakonis that we're not careful about.
But the Ruach Ra B'Shachris is
that's what Taisa says. Taisa thinks that it is matzah. And Shulchan Aruch it says, the Mishnah Berurah quotes, how old does the child have to be that you have to wash netilah? You have a little infant. So the Mishnah Berurah says, when the baby's laying in the bed, when they're very young, then they reach the stage when they touch their face. So he says, when the baby's already going to touch his own face and going to touch his feet, you have to hold the baby and wash until it's a day. He's way before he gives a chinuch, a little infant, way before he gives a chinuch. The Mishnah Berurah says, we're concerned about this ruach ra, that you really wash the children's hands at a very young age when they're able to touch their body already. So what's like lalachim? Whether the machil, we don't have a right one way or the other. One is feeding someone else. So Shmar Zag the Gemara, Davua the Shmuel's father was also Tamachacham Ashkenaz and Shmuel the Kabbokis. One fine day he finds that his son is crying. Omalei Amai Kabbokis, why is he crying? Doctor, the machin rabbi, the Rebbe slapped me. Amai, why the Rebbe slapped me? Domali, Kosofis Liparoi Velo Moshis Yodeh. You're feeding the Rebbe slapped Shmuel as a kid, because Shmuel is feeding the Rebbe's son, and he didn't wash until it's your time. Doctor, so Shmuel's father says, "Mamai la moshes, why don't you wash?" Doctor, Amalei, who akom ano mashina? The kid is eating the bread. I'm not eating bread. Why should I wash until it's your time? Amalei, so Shmuel's father said, "Loi mistai de legomir, loi died the Rebbe's an amare." That he doesn't know that the one is feeding someone else doesn't have to wash, but he now has to slap my son. He beats up my kids because the Rebbe made a mistake. He thinks that Machil has to wash until then. Dr. Mami Hilchel said that's the din. Like Abu the Shmuel. Shmuel as a child and his father, that's the din. That the Machil never has to wash until it's Yadayim. But the Oichel Machmas Machil, the one who's eating bread, always has to wash until it's Yadayim, even if he's not able to touch the bread. Even if he's not going to be able to touch the bread. That is a takana. The one who eats bread has to wash until it's Yadayim. Okay. Rabban on Parshas Yisro has an interesting comment on the Atheres HaDibroi. The mitzvah of Kiddush appears in the Atheres HaDibroi. Zohar Siyam Shabbos Lekatcha. We usually translate it, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Don't forget, you're not allowed to do Malach on Shabbos. The Gemara does not understand like that. The Gemara says Zohar means Lahaskir, to mention Kedushin Sayyidin of Shabbos. Like it says, Zohar Resh Yishos Lecha Amolek. So the Gemara says in the first parak in Megillah, Zachar, Yochel Baleid, maybe it just means you should remember Amalek in your heart, Amalai, Malai, Sishkach. The last two words in the parasha, don't forget Amalek. So what's added on by saying Zachar? So Zachar means B'peh. So the word Zachar means Lahazikir. Not to remember, but rather to mention. And the same thing in the Megillah says to, how do you know that you have to lay in the Megillah and Purim? It says you should make the Suda with the drinking, Mishnah, Adaloyada with the Shalachmanis, that says the Farish. Where does it say you have to read the Megillah? It doesn't say. But the Gemara says, on the first half of the Megillah, it says, Hayamim Wa'ela Nizkarim Binasim. Nizkarim means that they're spoken of. Spoken of. So that's the whole mocker, that you have to read the Megillah. The days are spoken of by Mikra Megillah. So here also, the Gemara understands Zachor. Doesn't mean remember the day of Shabbos to keep it holy. Means you should mention the Kedusha Sayyam of Shabbos to sanctify it. What do you mean to sanctify it? So the Gemara draws the contrast between Kedusha Sayyam Shabbos and Kedusha Sayyam. The Shabbos clearly came up in Sheshis, made Bereshis. It says, the Rebbe Shalom was Mekadosh all the Shabbos in Losi Lavoi. That's why on Shabbos the Baruch is Baruch HaTashem. The Kadesh on Shabbos. On Yontif, Yisrael. Mekadosh Yisrael, the Hazman of Bosham is Mekadosh us. We in turn are Mekadosh Yontif. But we're not Mekadosh Shabbos. So the Ramban says, but by our reciting Kiddush, Zohar is Yom HaShabbos, Likacho. When we recite Kiddush, we are endowing Shabbos with our Kedusha. True, Shabbos already had a Kedusha without us. But when we recite Kiddush, we're being Moitzim Kedusha, Al Kedusha. So do you find such a thing? So the Gemara has by a Bechor, all the Korbanis, Abachatas and Noiva and Shlomim and the Korban Pesach and everything, so the one who designates it as a Korban has to say, I hereby declare this is an Oiva, I hereby declare this is a Chatas, I hereby declare this is a Shlomim, this is a Pesach and so on. The one Korban that's Chal by itself is a Bechor, is Kodesh Mei Rechman, a Bechor Behemoth Torah, is born, so that's Kedusha by itself. So we Paschal like Rebbe, and the Gemara quotes Rebbe's opinion, what do you mean takdish? The Rebbe says mitzvah lahakdisho. Even though the b'chor is kodesh me'elov, it's a mitzvah on the farmer that he should mimikadosh the peh, to add on kedushas peh, kedushas ha'odom, on top of the kedusha habor me'elov. So the Ramban learns that's what's happening over here. Shabbos is clear, the kama has kedusha on its own, but we want to be moisim kedusha on kedushas. The Meshech Chochma, the Osamech, and Chumash points out, which has more Kedusha, Har Sinai? Well, we didn't endow Har Sinai with Kedusha. The Rebbeinu Shalom, Vayered Hashem Har Sinai. The Shekhinah came down Har Sinai and endowed with Kedusha. The Beis HaMikdash, we made the Kedusha. We are Mekadosh the Mokum. So which has more Kedusha? So, Har Sinai had a din. No one's allowed to walk on Har Sinai. And Behemoth is not allowed to go. And if a person goes and touches, and they get Bahar, most Yumas. A person touches Har Sinai, Behemoth goes. Sokol Yisokol, Yara Yara. The Behemoth gets Skila if he walks on Har Sinai. You don't have such a din in the Beis HaMikdash. So on the one hand, Har Sinai had a higher level of Kedusha than the Beis HaMikdash because the Kedusha was B'day Shamayim. Like Shabbos has a higher level of Kedusha than Yontem because we create the Kedusha of Yontem. The Rebbeinu Shalom created the Kedusha of Shabbos. It's a higher level. On the other hand, the Pasuk says, after Maimon HaSinai was over, Hemayala Bahar, the Kedusha disappeared. It wasn't of an everlasting nature. And the Beis HaMikdash, the Raman Paschal, like that opinion, that is Kinshul Osalavai, the Kedusha, since it's made by man, it's going to be more lasting. So, in a certain sense, Kedusha B'dei Shamayim is stronger. In another sense, the Kedusha B'dei Adam has certain elements that it's stronger, it's going to be more everlasting. So that's the nature of the mitzvah, to recite Kiddush on Shabbos, to endow the day with Kedusha. We're adding a Kedusha b'day Adam onto the Shabbos. That's what Tosefet Shabbos is all about. Tosefet Shabbos, we're extending Shabbos. Tosefet Shabbos is not Kviyah v'kaima from Sheshes Vibrations. Shabbos has Kedusha, the Bnei Shalom is by Baruch Lekim and Samashvi. Like God shows that that's from Ben Hashmashes to the end of Ben Hashmashes. And there's a mitzvah to be Mosif, Mechol Al HaKodesh, that's only b'day Adam. That part is to demonstrate that we're adding on Kedusha. This the Rambam writes that the mitzvah to recite Kiddush is benatar both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. The Magen Mishnah quotes some Rishonim to say, no, the mitzvah is only on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, Kiddush is only the Rabbanon. Why should they hold that Kiddush is only the Rabbanon? Because on Yom Tov, We created the Hakdusha Sayyam of Yom. So why do you have to say Kiddush? On Shabbos, it's Kvira Kaima from Sheshes May Bereshes. So the whole nature of the mitzvah deraisa is we should add Hakdusha B'dei Adam over and above, superimpose Kdusha B'dei Adam on top of the Kdusha B'dei Shamayim. It's an interesting idea. The Ramban translates Likat Shoh mentioned the Kdusha Sayyam to endow Shabbos with an additional level of Kedusha.
What is Gigab Shah?
I just came back from a cruise
and I think you went
to Egyptian, Moroccan, Syrian, Iraqi,